And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Larry Noble's concern about his wife, now that she's in a New York hospital suffering from severe acid burns inflicted by the demented Claudia Vincent at the time Mary proved her guilty of the murder of Oliver Wilson, is increased by his worry over the family finances. And Mary senses this and hopes she can help him over a bad time by helping him to find a motion picture contract in Hollywood. She's been in correspondence with Tom Bryson, family friend and well-known playwright, who is in Hollywood now. But she particularly doesn't want Larry to know about any of these negotiations. Right now, we find Larry having lunch with Maud Marlowe, another close family friend, in a small restaurant in New York's theater district. And we hear...
I'm glad you could meet me for a few minutes, Maud. It's darn decent of you, particularly on a matinee day.
Oh, nonsense, Larry. It isn't often that a character actress of my age is taken to lunch by one of Broadway's handsomest leading men.
Oh, but thanks for the compliment. Right now, I'm one of Broadway's least employed actors.
Well, that won't last, Larry. You're far too well known to be out of work long. Not like me at my age.
Since you're the one who's playing the lead in a Broadway hit, and I'm out of work, that's rather a comedy line.
You underrate yourself, Larry. And you're not going to take away my pleasure at being invited to lunch. I only wish you'd chosen a more conspicuous place, like Sardi's or 21.
Yeah. On my present bankroll, Maud, we're lucky I didn't bring a bag of sandwiches and invite you to eat them in the park.
Well, you know it would have been all right with me. And another thing. I want you to know that everything I have is yours for the asking, Larry.
Oh, now look, Maud.
Now, Larry, right now you're having a very bad time of it. You're out of work. You've been under heavy expense all the time you were waiting for your trial.
Yes. I owe Les Jordan a small fortune.
Well, Lester Jordan understands. He won't be hounding you for money.
Well, I won't draw a quiet breath till I've paid back every cent. And until I have Mary back home in Rosehaven, where she belongs.
All right, Larry. Just don't try to do it all overnight.
It's Mary I'm worried about. Suppose that acid... insane Claudia Vincent threw in her face... should disfigure her permanently.
Well, it's a chance you have to take, Larry. Mary knows that.
How do you think I'm going to feel, knowing that I'm the one who brought Claudia Vincent into our lives? I'm the fool who believed she needed a chance, and I gave it to her. I talked Ramsey into giving her a part in the play. And then what? She not only murdered that no-account Oliver Wilson backstage at the theater, but she arranged to have it look as if I'd done it.
Well, that's all over and done with.
Oh, sure. And Mary's lying in the hospital now, bandaged so that you can't even see her eyes, waiting to find out whether she's going to look like herself or like... Maud, how can a man bear up under that kind of guilt? I've already told Dr. Allen to spare no trouble or expense getting the best doctors in the world if they can help. But even at that, suppose it's beyond them. Suppose I'm responsible for scarring Mary's beautiful face for life.
Don't you think it's better to cross that bridge when you come to it?
Yes. I'm sorry to sound off like this, Maud. It's rotten.
Oh, I'm glad you can get it out of your system. Only I don't think you ought to put so much of the blame on your shoulders, Larry. I'm sure it's the last thing Mary would want you to do.
Oh, I know that. And yet, if she hadn't been so darn loyal, in spite of everything... this would never have happened to her.
Why do you suppose she did stick by you, Larry?
Because that's the way she's made. She could just as well have dropped me like a hot potato and let Rupert Barlow provide for her future. She could have got a divorce from me in no time and married Rupert. With all his money and his position, she'd be sitting pretty.
You don't really think she'd ever consider doing that?
Oh, now, wait a minute. I'm not criticizing her. But just the same, it makes me see red every time I think about it. And right now, it makes me see red roses. Hundreds of them.
So you knew who sent them?
Oh, I knew all right. The nurse showed me the card, but I'd have known anyhow. Who else would make a gesture on that scale?
Well, Mary didn't say anything to you because she knew it would hurt. But they didn't mean a thing to her. She sent them to the wards, and that's the end of them.
Is it? And what about all this shuffling about you did yesterday? About writing letters. Thank you notes for flowers. It was obvious enough she was sending a letter of thanks to Rupert.
Now, that's where you're quite wrong. She hasn't acknowledged the flowers at all. Not yet. I suppose she will. It's only polite. But you're letting your imagination run wild, Larry. And you couldn't be more wrong.
Well, I've been wrong so often that once more won't matter. And you haven't convinced me either. But it doesn't matter. Don't think I'm going to bring the subject up. All I want is to get Mary out of this mess as well as possible. And let her decide what she wants to do from there on.
Don't you know already?
I know what I want. But that may not be the same thing.
Well, you think it over, Larry. You'll find out you're luckier than you know. Oh, I've got to run now. I'll be late for the matinee. Which way are you going?
I've got to stop by my agent's, and then I'll go on to the hospital. A waiter, bring the check, please.
And at the same time, we find wealthy Rupert Barlow in the living room of his town apartment overlooking Central Park. His former servant, Victor, is standing before him, and Rupert looks up from his deeply cushioned chair to say...
I sent word for you, Victor, because I'm ready to have you return to work.
Yeah, I figured it was that, Mr. Barlow.
There's no longer any need for me to pretend that I'm angry with you. At least I've forgiven you for spreading gossip about me and Mrs. Noble.
Works out great for me, don't it?
What do you mean?
You get me to run my feet off around New York, fixing up ways to get you and Mrs. Noble together so I can get a guy to take pictures of you. And then I got to go to that Marty Rufus and sell him the pictures for his gossip column, and then what? When Mrs. Noble makes a squawk, you put the blame on me, and you fire me off the job.
I gave you a vacation with pay, Victor. You were well paid for the time you were away from me.
You think you can work anything just like you want it? Well, let me tell you, I'm through doing all the dirty jobs that you figure out when you're chasing a dame. I wash my hands of the whole deal.
Indeed. Oh, I had no idea yours was such a sensitive nature, Victor. You weren't always so squeamish, particularly on the salary you receive and the extras.
Well, Mr. Barlow, used to be we'd travel around and see different places. Since you got stuck on Mrs. Noble, I've been hanging around on Long Island or in the apartment and then getting put in the middle when you're in a jam. I don't want no more of that. I can find other jobs.
Oh, you'll never find anything half as good and you know it. Now stop behaving like a sulky child and get the car around here. I'm going to Oyster Bay, and you're going to drive me.
Says you.
Now look here, Victor. Just bear with me for a while. As a matter of fact, I'm just staying in New York long enough to find out how Mrs. Noble is going to get along.
You see in the papers that she's plenty sick. That Vincent dame always was a wildcat. Mrs. Noble should have watched herself.
Exactly. If Mrs. Noble had only paid some attention to me.
Maybe she will now, Mr. Barlow, if she's got her face all burned out of shape.
Victor, don't ever let me hear you say such a thing again.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, we may be traveling soon. I'm getting rather restless myself. And if I find that there's nothing I can do to help Mrs. Noble, who is still very dear to me, then I expect I'll go away somewhere.
You better have before she comes after you. I want you to take her on now.
That's enough of that, Victor. Just bring the car around.
Okay. I'll go get it now. I'll call you from downstairs.
And some time later, Larry opens the door of Mary's room at the hospital and looks in, then closes it softly.
Who is it?
An admirer. Are you receiving visitors?
Oh, Larry. Hello, darling.
I have some good news, baby.
What is it?
It just came from my agent. He's lined up a couple of very good radio dates.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad for you.
I wish it wasn't such a bad time of year to get into a play. Ah, but we'll make out, honey. How are you feeling today?
Oh, fine. I'm getting much better every day. They changed the bandages this morning.
Any comment?
Dr. Allen says I'm getting on very well. He wouldn't let me look in the mirror, though.
No, better not to, I guess. Give yourself plenty of time, sweetheart. Oh, here, I brought you a present. It's a music box. And here's something that goes with it. Smell. Can you smell?
Yes, they're roses.
That's right. Just a bunch of sweetheart roses.
Oh, that's wonderful of you, Larry.
Well, aren't you my sweetheart?
You know I am.
Mary, you've been so darn wonderful through all this mess. Don't think I'll ever forget. Ever.
Oh, Larry, Will we ever be back home again? Will our life ever be what it was?
We sure will. If that's what you want, Mary.
How easy it is to take things for granted when you're happy. How little you know of what may happen in just a few short minutes. It doesn't take long to change everything. To shatter a lifetime of happiness.
We'll build it up again, baby. Just stick with me. I promise you, we'll build it up all over again.
Mary turns her head away to control her impulse to cry as Larry watches and wonders if he can ever keep the promise he's just made. Be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.